Everyone, Jacques asked me about a month ago if I'd get up here and tell my testimony. I'm now regretting that decision, but here I am. I'm fairly new here. I've been attending this church for, I guess, close to a year. I've only been a part of it for about a month. I'm not sure if most of you know who I am. I guess by now you probably do. My name is Joel Leger. My wife is Emily Hyde. She's now Emily Leger. She's sitting up there on the balcony watching me. She's from PEI, from Meadowbank. I'm not from here. I am from away. I'm from northern New Brunswick. I grew up in a small French community named Packetville. In the very northeastern part of New Brunswick. I was born in the year 1990. That makes me 27 today, or 26, almost 27. I was born in a family of five. I have two older siblings, two younger. Rochelle, Stephen are older, and Stacy and Michael are younger. Four of them are now in PEI. One of them lives in Dieppe, so most of us are here now. My parents are Serge and Hazel. A lot of you would have met them recently. Serge was at the conference last weekend speaking. So that's kind of who I am, where I'm from, and who my siblings and parents are. I was born and brought up in a Christian family. Both my parents were born again. Both my parents were saved. My mother had been brought up in a family where both her parents had been saved. My father was brought up in a very Catholic, brought up in a Catholic family. Both his parents were Catholic. The community where I'm from and all of that area is a very strong Catholic area. And people didn't really take much to the gospel in that area. When my father was saved at 20, he actually turned his community upside down because people were so upset. He was leaving the religion that you had to follow. But when he got saved, as a result, a lot of his family was saved, and his parents were saved, and his sister, aunts, and uncles. So by the time I came along, obviously my father was saved, my mother was saved, and that's the environment I was brought up in a family where both my parents were born again and loved the Lord. We attended a church in New Brunswick. It was a very legalistic church, but the gospel was preached. I always knew the gospel. I always knew my need to be saved, and I knew I needed a Savior. I knew I was a sinner, and the gospel that was preached in that church was very much focused on your sin and hell, and which I believe it's a part of the gospel, but it's not the whole of the gospel. And it kind of twisted my view of the gospel as a child. I was saved when I was 11, so, you know, from the time where I understood to the time I understood what was going on to the time I was saved wasn't a real long period of time. But my view of the gospel was a bit twisted even after I was saved. I remember as a child really wanting to be saved, and it was more of I wanted more of a fire escape from hell than really a relationship with the Lord Jesus, because it had been pounded into me that if I didn't get saved, well, I'd be going to hell forever, and that's really all that concerned me, is I didn't want to go there. So that's kind of the environment that I grew up in. My brother was saved, Stephen. Me and Stephen were very close growing up. We're only a year and a bit apart. He was saved when he was five, so I would have been 3.5 or 4, and I remember that, and I remember thinking, oh boy, my brother Stephen is saved, and I really have to get this matter settled. It's kind of funny to think back at that now because I was so young. But I had always heard, you know, you hear preachers say that, you know, today is the day of salvation. If you leave it too long, then you'll never be saved. And that was always on my mind growing up. And I remember thinking that all the time. My brother was saved, and, you know, I was now 9 or whatever, and I still wasn't saved. So, you know, it was way too late for me. I'd never be saved. But thankfully, that wasn't the case. So I had a strong fear of hell. I also had a fear of the Lord's coming, because that was another thing, and it's a healthy fear. I was terrified that the Lord would come and I'd be left behind. So I shared a room with my brother, and I'd often check in on him to make sure he was still there. You know, the imagination of a child. I'd always want to make sure my brother was there, because I knew if he was there, the Lord hadn't come yet, because he was saved when he was 5. So I had those fears, but then I also, and this is kind of funny, I remember sitting in church, and I remember sitting in church and looking at all the people that I knew would be believers, and I'd be eyeing up which wallet or set of keys I'd get first if the Lord came. So I wasn't always afraid, and as a child, it's kind of funny what your imagination can do, but anyway. If you're in that age and you're not saved, it's probably not something you should consider. You probably should get saved and not try to get your parents' wallet. Anyway, so with that, when I was 11 years old, that's the year I got saved, we were going to gospel. There was gospel meetings about 45 minutes away from our house, and my parents were very dedicated in getting us to those meetings. They were every night of the week, and they had 2 preachers come especially for that, and every night we'd be going to these meetings. I don't remember a thing of those meetings. I had a hard time paying attention as a kid. I probably still do today. And I don't remember a thing that was said. But my brother, Stephen, which I was fairly close to, he loved to talk. He still does, and which means he loved to preach to me. He'd preach to my brother, and he had been saved for years since he was 5. And he was always trying to preach to us so that we'd get saved, me and my brother Michael. And this night, we were driving home from this gospel meeting we had been to, and my brother was preaching to my brother Michael in the back seat of the van, and I was pretending I wasn't listening, because I didn't really want to draw anyone's attention, but I was listening, and he was talking about hell and how long it would be and how terrible it would be. And I kind of got thinking about that, and it had never really struck me like it did this time what eternity is. Eternity isn't going to end, it's forever, and it really kind of dawned on me that, you know, forever is a long time. You can't measure forever. And I often had been, you know, really wanting to be saved and scared of all these things, and my reason for what I was trying to do is I was trying to save myself. It was kind of a selfish thing that I wanted to save myself from this place. It had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus. I just wanted to save myself from where I was going. And this night, things happened a little differently. I remember being very, very concerned with where I was going to end up. I knew I had sinned. I knew I had been separated from God, and I didn't. Like, that's where I deserve to go. And for the first time, I just realized the fact that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, it was for my sins that he died, and he didn't want me to go there. And it's pretty simple, but I just understood that and accepted it for myself. So that's when I became, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus, and it was that simple. In the past, I was trying to do it for selfish reasons, but this time, it wasn't about myself anymore. It was about this person, the Lord Jesus, that was willing to give everything up so that I could be saved from this place called hell. And that's really how simple the gospel is. I'd like to read a verse in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and 11. And this is just to kind of reinforce the fact that when God saved me, when God saved you, when God wants to rescue us from this place called hell, which is a real place, there's really a lot more to the gospel than just that. When God saves us, he's got a reason for it. Really, the only reason why I was destined for that place, the only reason why any of us are going there is because when we sinned, we were separated from God. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, before Adam sinned, he had full communion with God. He was serving him. He could worship him. And as soon as him and Eve sinned, well, they were separated from God. They no longer had any connection with God. And we were created to worship God. We were created for a purpose. And what the Lord Jesus and what God really wanted to do is he wanted to bring us back to himself so that we could do once again what we were purposed to do, which is worship God. So if we read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness to purity, to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." So when God saves us, when God died on the cross, he died on the cross so that we could be made righteous in God's sight once again, so that we can now be a people that serves him. Because we couldn't serve him as sinful people, it just couldn't work, because our sins are really, sin really is the opposite of God, and sin and God can't mix. The Lord Jesus died for us, he made us holy, now we can be his people, and he created us so that we could do good works, and so that we could glorify him. I'll read another verse in Ephesians chapter 2, and I love this passage, it's probably one of my favorite in the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Sorry, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And this applies to everyone who is a saved person, everyone who loves the Lord, who has put their faith in him. This passage applies to all of us. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that he should walk in them. So what this is basically saying is, yes, it is a fact that we were dead. We had sinned. Our sin had made us really dead to God. But God had mercy on us. God, in his grace, he gave us a gift that we did not deserve. He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved and we might once again be his workmanship. It says we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We can now live for God once again. We can now worship God once again in our lives. So that's really the story of everyone who has been saved. Being saved at 11, I went through my teenage years as a Christian. I wasn't always perfect, but I'm glad I was saved at that age, at the age of 11. And God does work with you even when you're 11 years old. And if that's an encouragement to anyone here that's young and saved, God's just as interested in working with you at 11 years old as he is at working with you at 30 or 40 or 50. And what I began to understand as I was growing up is God is really more interested in working with us and just giving us a bunch of rules that we have to follow. Same as salvation, it's a lot more than just a fire escape from hell. God saves us for a purpose, and then as we live our lives for him, he has stuff that he wants to show us, and he works with us, and he forms us. And growing up in the church where I was, the mentality was more do as you're told, and you know, you're just young, so you don't really have to ask questions, and as long as you do what you're told and you follow the rules, well, you'll be pleasing God. And it's easy, I think, for older people to kind of brush that off onto younger people and just kind of expect them to do as they're told and not really ask questions. But the fact is that if God saved me as an individual, well, he wants me as an individual to understand what his word is. He wants me as an individual to understand what his will is. And growing up, I kind of began to understand that the Christian walk is a lot more than a list of rules. And it's a lot more than the do's and don'ts that are in the Bible. The Christian walk is about a man. The Christian walk is about the Lord Jesus. And really, salvation is all about the Lord Jesus. It's not really about me going to hell, although that was a fact. Salvation is that the man, Lord Jesus, was willing to die for my sins, and now he wants me to serve him. And here I am today. I don't know if I've pleased the Lord every day in my life like I should, but the fact is that God wants to work with me as an individual, and he wants to work with you as an individual. Anyway, with that, I will end in prayer. Father, we come before you. We want to thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that God, who is so great and so awesome, was willing to have a relationship with each of us as an individual, even me, Joel Legere, and it can apply to everyone here tonight. Such a great God, the creator of everything, is interested in us. We thank you for that. We pray that you might help us in our life to glorify God, that you might help us to be a good testimony to those around us, and that they might see something in us that they would like to have. And we pray that every action that we do reflects who the Lord Jesus is. So we just pray that these few words might be blessed, and we pray for everyone here this evening, that what they have heard might be a help to them. So we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.